This is Jay Sekulow with the Graham Cassidy bill going forward. Is this the last chance for the repeal of Obamacare?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Is this thing going to pass?
We'll see. We're close. And the Graham Cassidy bill, we believe, is the right solution at the right time to repeal and replace Obamacare with the kind of reform that will allow states to innovate and to create better quality health care, better access for Americans.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Graham Cassidy bill repeals and replaces Obamacare. It repeals the individual mandate. It repeals the business mandate. It repeals the tax penalties.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, you're talking about a serious discussion, serious negotiations going on right now. The bill is called the Graham Cassidy Heller Johnson bill. It is an attempt, and I think probably the final attempt, at least under reconciliation, to get the Obamacare situation rectified. People are saying, is it a full repeal of Obamacare? Is it not? Here's what it does do. There are four things that are pretty important. You heard what the vice president said in the introduction of the broadcast. Number one, the individual employer mandates are gone. Number two, rather than Medicaid expansion, it puts block grants to the states. The states can then determine how to best utilize those grants to help its citizens. I think that, by the way, is a huge scenario. The subsidies and taxes of the Obamacare mandates, in other words, the penalty that people have for not getting Obamacare, that is moved out as well. So I think, look, this is the first. We always talked about this as a step analysis. You're not going to have all of this at one time. But I think what Senator Graham, Senator Cassidy's put forward here is something not only that we support, but is a good move forward. It also does defund Planned Parenthood. So that's a big statement. And that is in the language. That's a prohibited entity from receiving your taxpayer dollars. So all in all, I think this is a really appropriate move. It is we're down to, though, the real time.
Yep.
Where you're talking about days now to see if this can happen.
That's right. I mean, we are a little bit more than a week away from the potential vote. The latest the vote could happen, it could happen earlier next week. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said it's going to be next week. Now, next week could mean, as we talked about yesterday, really Friday or Saturday is the deadline for the Senate. Then it would go to the House. Not expected. Now, that's always a caveat to have a lot of trouble in the House of Representatives if it does pass the U.S. Senate. But we're down to a few senators. We've got Rand Paul saying no. We have John McCain and Lisa Murkowski, as well as Susan Collins. Susan Collins voted against all of these moves. Murkowski and McCain have been kind of back and forth. You need to get to 50 so that Vice President Pence can cast the 51st vote. And as you just said, Dad, what's important here is this is phase one. This is the process to get rid of Obamacare, get about 70% of what you'd like. That's what you can do through reconciliation. And then when there's no more Obamacare, you open up to a lot better debate about how to continue to improve our country's health care for individuals, for the employers that provide it, and utilize it for the facilities and for doctors. We get to that debate only if we can repeal Obamacare. We've got to put that in history to get the Democrats to even sit down at the table and really discuss options. Because right now, all they'll try to do is save President Obama's one legislative legacy.
All right, let me ask Than Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs, here right before our break. What is your assessment of where we are right now and what's going to happen?
Well, Jordan laid it out right. The deadline is next Saturday when the reconciliation instructions expire, Jay. Look, this comes down to Lisa Murkowski. You might have other senators that ultimately vote no, but if Lisa Murkowski votes yes, that means the pressure on those other senators is incredible, Jay. I think if she gets to a yes, then I think this is going to pass next week. Now, again, you have great confidence. She bailed on the last one, but there needs to be a lot of attention focused on Lisa Murkowski from Alaska.
All right, we're going to encourage those phone calls when we come back from the break. We'll also take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Very important time on this. And we've got information up at aclj.org, of course. Also got an email that is out right now with Pastor Andrew Brunson. Let me just say this. That today is a very important day at the United Nations, and it involves the discussions about Pastor Brunson will be going on today. So I encourage you to pray for Pastor Andrew Brunson and his family. That important. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. I'm holding in my hand an email from Planned Parenthood, and it says, I stand with Planned Parenthood. That's their email. But they put in there that this, quote, as they call it, this toxic bill would still rip away health insurance from millions, raise premiums, restrict access to coverage and basic care like maternity care. By the way, none of that's true. And defund Planned Parenthood. That is true. And it doesn't defund Planned Parenthood. It defunds Planned Parenthood from getting your taxpayer dollars, my taxpayer dollars. That's what they're talking about there. So this, you know, it's a bit of an overreaction to say it defunds Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is not going out of business. They just don't get taxpayer dollars to do it. We're getting a lot of calls on this and comments. We're supporting this legislation, by the way. We think this is the right move. This is the appropriate move. Returning the money to the states for block grants will allow the states to tailor the insurance situation to their states because these states are all different. So we want to make sure there's as much coverage as we possibly can have for American citizens on the most economical basis it can be put in place. So that's why we're encouraging that. All right, let's go ahead and take some calls. We're getting some calls about pre-existing conditions. I want to talk about that.
Yeah, Tara Lisa in Arkansas on line one. Tara Lisa, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jay.
Hey.
Hi, Jay. Thank you.
Sure.
My question is, what stipulations and fair things are going to be put in for pre-existing
medical
illnesses,
conditions.
Like say, yeah, like when you're moving from job to job, or
sure.
You know, stuff like that.
No, this is a great question because there's a lot of misinformation out there about the pre-existing conditions. So, under the Graham-Cassidy bill, it does not allow insurers to deny any person health insurance coverage based on a pre-existing condition. Nor does it allow insurers to cap annual or lifetime limits on their coverage of insured individuals. What it does do is allow the states to apply for block grant funding to also apply and receive waivers from these restrictions from any health care plan partially funded using those block grants. So what it does, it allows the states to tailor a pre-existing condition plan for its state. And to me, that makes perfect sense. The closer you get it to the people, the better off it is. But then that's an area that I know people are concerned about, and I understand that. How are you viewing it, and how is that playing out, the whole pre-existing condition? I think we've summarized it absolutely correctly here. Do we have up on ACLJ.org an analysis of this now, of the bill? If not, we'll have it up there today or tomorrow. Yeah, go ahead, Dan.
Jay, I think the pre-existing requirement under Graham-Cassidy would work a whole lot better because the way the federal requirement happened, it just caused prices to explode, premiums to explode. This would say it would leave that requirement in place, but a state could apply to get a waiver from that requirement. But, Jay, they could not get a waiver from that requirement unless they documented, approved, and authorized that they had an adequate and affordable coverage available for those people that would the requirement would be waived for. And how would they get that? those block grants that would go back to the states, Jay, they could say, we want to set up a high-risk pool that would do a better job of covering this. So the short answer is the requirement to cover pre-existing conditions is still in there. States just have greater flexibility to make it actually work. The one under Obamacare, it didn't work, Jay.
No.
No, and it also goes to those essential health benefits where states will be able to apply for waivers so that some of those which drive the cost up significantly would not apply in their states. They would apply to the federal government and say, we'd like a waiver on one of these essential health benefits or two of these essential health benefits. And the way that Obamacare was so poorly drafted, you know, men were paying for maternity care and OBGYN services that they could not utilize because it was so generally drafted. So again, more narrowly tailored for what each state and the citizens of the state. I mean, and isn't this what we're about in the United States of America? Ultimately, we can use federal resources that are then distributed to the states and let the states decide how best to utilize those funds for their citizens and drive the cost down. We all know the CBO is going to come out because when you strike the individual mandate and the employer right. mandate, guess what happens? Some people are not going to buy insurance. That we will get one of those very high numbers saying, and the way they'll spin it as 20 million people are going to lose insurance. That is not
the
case.
They've never been correct on any of the CBO scoring.
All that means is that they are estimating that that many people, because they will no longer be forced to buy insurance, may make the decision not to. Now, that's a big if, because if the prices come down, people may, in fact, start buying insurance again. But, Dad, we had callers yesterday, a wife and husband each paying $1,700 a month.
I know, it's crazy.
Deductible was $32,000. So they're spending almost $60,000 before they even really get insurance in a year.
This is because there are counties.
Why do it? Why not?
There are counties in states where there's one insurer. That's it.
Yeah.
So when there's one insurer, guess what they do?
They
own it. So that's why you have that problem. All right, we're taking your calls and comments. I want to know what you want us to tell Congress on this. 1-800-684-3110. Tell us about your insurance situation too. I like real life examples of what you're dealing with in the Obamacare regime that we were under healthcare right now. Really important. I will tell you this, that I mean, on a personal basis, I think we gotta all say this. There are so many times when you're having now come out of pocket to pay for things because the insurance companies under Obamacare, the panel review say, well, we don't think it's necessary, but your doctor say, well, we think it's necessary. Yeah. So I mean, this is all what we're going through. So we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Again, 800-684-3110.
We do believe it's time to start that call to action. We had a caller yesterday. We were going to try and hold till Monday for the one committee hearing, but because we now really do know who to focus in on amongst Republicans, we want to give you that Capitol switchboard number, which is 202-224-3121. Now, none of these individuals but for Rand Paul have come out against this yet. So you're not saying, hey, stop saying no. This is an encouraging call to say support Graham Cassidy, vote yes to repeal Obamacare. You want to call the offices of Senator John McCain, Senator Lisa Murkowski, Senator Susan Collins, Senator Capito of West Virginia, and Senator Rand Paul as well. They all need to hear from you. You're predominantly conservative, and you understand that, yes, this may be phase one. This may be getting 70%. That's what you can do under reconciliation. Let's get the ball rolling. Let's put Obamacare in the past and start looking towards the future of improving our health care. So call those senators at 202-224-3121. We have about a week to keep the pressure on. We're fighting against groups like Planned Parenthood who are doing the same. 202-224-3121. That's McCain, Murkowski, Collins, Rand Paul, and Shelley Moore Capito.
Okay, there's another issue here I want to get, because Stan, I think people want to know this. And that is, we're looking at, this is going to be a very close vote. The vice president's been highly engaged on this, which I appreciate. The president, of course, said he supports this. But let's talk about the kind of the political reality of what we've got here. So Rand Paul's already saying no, and it sounds like he's just going to be the contrarian. He's just going to say no to everything. But what about Murkowski, and how will that be with the Planned Parenthood language? Tell me how you think all that's going to play out.
Well, this is why it looks like it might have a chance, Jay, because Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski came out pretty early the last time around and said they were opposed to it. In the case of Lisa Murkowski, unless the Planned Parenthood language came out, Jay, neither one of them have done that. Now, Susan Collins has indicated that she is probably a no, but even if she's a no, along with Rand Paul, you can still get to 50. You need John McCain's vote, and by the way, he's very close with Lindsey Graham, and he said he was likely to follow the lead of his governor. His governor has endorsed this, Jay, so I know a lot of people don't trust John McCain, but the signs show that he may be leaning yes. That leaves you with Lisa Murkowski. I know she wants the Planned Parenthood language out. Jay, I suspect she will offer an amendment to strip it out. But if she gets her vote and the will of the United States Senate is to keep that language in, I think she could still be a yes. That would get you to 50.
That's the vote you got to have.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's a really important vote. Former President Obama talked about he doesn't like this. He didn't like any of this legislation. Here's what he said.
All of this being done without any demonstrable economic or actuarial or plain common sense rationale, it frustrates. And it's certainly frustrating to have to mobilize every couple of months to keep our leaders from inflicting real human suffering on our constituents.
You know, I don't know who he's talking. I mean, we're talking to you all every day, and we're hearing stories that are real. And this is very, very serious. In our view, extremely serious.
It's weird because the language that he used, he talks about like we're talking about the people hurting economically the most. And that is not what this is about. Those people are covered through Medicaid. And certain age groups are covered through things like Medicare. We're talking about this narrow category of people who make too much money, actually, to be covered by Medicaid. They are too successful to be covered by Medicaid. They don't get it provided by their employer for whatever reason. And so that's who we're talking about, improving insurance for that category of people. When we think about it that way, we realize if we focus in on that group, the impact on the rest of us will not be so dire. And in fact, the cost should come down because we're not talking about all Americans. We're talking about a narrow category of Americans who fall in this gap, and we want to improve their insurance situation. And by doing that, it should bring costs down for all of us because the costs are, even from the employer costs, is going skyrocketing.
I mean, up 30%.
Many of you, I know you don't want to thank employers all the time, but I mean, if you get a good insurance plan through your employer, you should thank them. You would be shocked if you knew how much it was costing your employer to provide those plans.
Upwards of $30,000. I mean, that's what, a family. So here's what you have. Look, there's obviously this is moving and it's moving quickly. We'll take more of your calls and comments when we come back from the break. We had a great opportunity yesterday, I did, to spend time at Judson University outside of Chicago with students at that great institution. And then the Jay Sekulow Band played live concert last night, a packed house. Mary on Facebook said, thank you so much for last night's concerts. You guys really killed it. And that's killed it in a good way. She said she had a great time. We did too. Something we may do more of in the future. It was great to see so many people. All right, we're going to take your calls and comments when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget, sign that petition right now at aclj.org. If you get our emails, and if you don't, you should, by the way, just sign up at aclj.org for Pastor Brunson. Movement on that. Today expected some type of movement because I know there's high-level discussions going on between the various governments. So we appreciate your prayers for Pastor Andrew Brunson. We'll be back with more, including your calls, in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
secular band yesterday. We played that song, by the way, Midnight Rider, at Judson University. And we had I had a great time with the faculty and students and administration at the university, talking with them about major issues of the day. And students asked great questions. It was a pleasure to be hosted by our friends at Judson University. And then that night, we had a Jay Sekulow band concert, an evening with our band. And everybody came up, all of our bandmates, and we spent 2 hours playing music, talking about issues in between the songs, and had just a great time, packed house. And we're looking forward to maybe doing that two or three times a year in different locations so that all of you can participate in that in the coming year. So we had a lot of fun with that. I want to thank again our friends at Judson University for making that happen. Jordan, let's go right to the phones. I do want to play Vice President Pence's comment, but I'll save that till after we take a call.
Yeah, Jennifer in California on line 3. Jennifer, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jennifer.
Jay, thank you for providing the phone number for the senators, because I do support the bill, and I intend to call both Senator McCain for leaving messages, McCain and Murkowski, Paul and Collins.
Right.
And I want to let you know, I fall within the category of those insured that would be most affected should we be able to see health care prices for the higher incomes be lowered, because it's very scary to think that if we're responsible, as I am an independent, I own my own business, what I would actually out-of-pocket pay. So I want to thank you for supporting the bill and explaining. Also, as a taxpayer, I don't believe federal tax dollars should support Planned Parenthood. I think it's a state issue, and thank you so much for representing it.
Thanks also for your support. And thank you for making those calls. Jordan's going to give that number again in a moment, but let me say this. I think, and I've said this, that the Affordable Care Act is unsustainable. It's not working. I mean, the costs are out of control. I mean, I look at it within our own organization and how much the costs are, and we want to provide for our team the appropriate insurance plans, good insurance plans for the families. We have a lot of young families here at the American Center for Law and Justice, and a lot of these young families are having children. You want the right kind of care available for them and for their families, and we have the old guys like me, and you need insurance as well. So we want to make it affordable. It's getting out of, I mean, Jordan mentioned the couple I was traveling yesterday with $1,700, basically $34,000 a year they're paying, or more than that. Plus, they've got these huge deductibles. This is absurd.
$30,000 deductibles.
Yeah, I mean, this is absurd. And in some counties, as I said, in some states, that's it. I mean, there's like one insurance company. You've got one choice. Logan on Facebook asked, then we'll take a phone call, are any Democrats on board with this new bill? Fan, any possibility of Joe Manchin, or has he already said no?
It sure doesn't look like it. It looks like it's going to have to be all Republicans. He said he's not in favor of this bill at this point.
You know what? I would call his office, though.
All right.
My goodness. Let's add West Virginia to that list. Jordan's going to go over the call to action here.
Both West Virginia senators. One is a Democrat, Joe Manchin, but he plays himself off as a conservative Democrat. And Shelley Mark Capito is probably more of a moderate Republican. Here's the number you call. You call the Capitol switchboard. We're going to be giving this out every day leading up to this vote, either Friday or Saturday next week. It's 202-224-3121 is the Capitol switchboard. So when they answer the phone, you ask to be connected to one of these senators' offices, and you can call each of them. So there's Senator McCain on the list. Write this down. Senator Murkowski, Senator Susan Collins, Senator Rand Paul, Senator Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, and Senator Manchin of West Virginia. Knowing that Senator Murkowski is very key here, and then the only Democrat we have on the list is Senator Manchin, so he may be surprised that he's actually getting some calls. But you can call all of them and ask them to support the Graham-Cassidy legislation on health care, to improve health care for all Americans, and you call that Capitol switchboard. Do so in a nice way. Do so in a positive way. You'll likely either get a staff member there or a voicemail. And by the way, those staffs, and Than can confirm it, they actually keep tallies of how many of these calls come in. So they know before they vote how many people have called saying yes, how many people have called saying no. And we know Planned Parenthood is telling people to call. So call that number this afternoon, today, 202-224-3121. And then you just ask which Senate office to be connected to. We've given you those senators' names: McCain, Murkowski, Collins, Paul, Capito, and Manchin.
Let me go over again what the changes are in the Graham-Cassidy bill, what it will do to Obamacare. Yeah, the individual employer mandates are gone. Rather than a Medicaid expansion, what this does is return block grants to the states, including what's called short-term assistance programs for the states, in the tune of $10 billion for 2019 and $15 billion for 2020 to assist in the purchase of health benefits coverage by addressing coverage and access disrupting responding to urgent health care needs within the states. So the states can then tailor this as well. That's very important. It also eliminates the medical device tax and the tax on over-the-counter medicine, and also the tax on health savings accounts. It also, and this is important for our audience, and it is for me, and that is the defunding of Planned Parenthood as to federal funds. It doesn't defund Planned Parenthood. It defunds it as to federal funds. Let's go ahead and take Joy on line four. Joy, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay.
Hey.
Yes. First of all, let me just say I am not in favor of abortion, but I do want this little piece of information to be out there to people that think they have to have one or whatever. Abortion will still be available.
Correct.
But such as myself, I am fixing to be considered, I don't know, elderly maybe. I don't need that
right.
in my coverage, and I should not have to pay for yours. However, if a doctor deems it's necessary for your health, you will still be able to get
well,
that.
Well, I mean, this is not a situation where the bill doesn't make the practice of abortion illegal.
No, we're not overturning.
It's not overturning Roe versus Wade. It's
no.
simply your taxpayer dollars aren't going to go to Planned Parenthood. Who then provides for abortions. That's really what it is.
Exactly what Joy said is that we're into insurance plans that mandate that coverage is there. That doesn't mean that someone can't then purchase that coverage additionally. They can do that. But the federal government won't be paying for that. On top of that, this again is the defunding of the abortion giants. It's not just Planned Parenthood. It's the entire abortion industry, the providers of abortion. And don't take our word for it. When Planned Parenthood puts out an email, you know, an emergency email, and they use the word defund in their email, and I showed that to you yesterday. My dad's got it in his hand now.
Right now. Here it is.
For me, that's all it takes to get me to a yes vote. Now, I know John McCain and Murkowski are not exactly as committed to that issue, but for me, I'd vote yes on any kind of legislation that strips Planned Parenthood of $500 million. That's half their budget. Gone. With just a signature by President
Especially
Trump.
A bill that does what this does, which is going to return some control of the states, which is where
good.
this laboratory of how to figure this healthcare situation out is has to take place. All right, we are here for another 30 minutes of the broadcast. Obviously, this is a major issue. We're going to be joined in the second half hour of the broadcast by our Director of Policy, Professor Harry Hutchison, who's done a full analysis of this. We will also have posted, I'm sure by later today or tomorrow, a overview. We've got a great one that was produced by our legal team this morning. We may be able to turn that into a post so that we can give you some more information. If you're not getting the full hour of the broadcast, and most of you do, or many of you do, you know you can go over to aclj.org and see it there, or just get, you can watch us, or you could actually just listen to the audio, of course, on Facebook, at Jay Sekulow, on Twitter, on Periscope, Facebook. You just go to the Jay Sekulow Facebook page. We're broadcasting it there. So we're going to be here. We're going to take your calls. Don't forget today, big day at the United Nations as the president meets with the prime minister of Turkey. I'm praying for the movement on the case involving Pastor Andrew Brunson. And appreciate your prayers for Pastor Brunson and his family. We've got a petition up right now, and I want to let you know that we're letting the White House know that we're hearing from hundreds of thousands of people on this. And I think everybody wants to pray for the release of this pastor, return to his family. It's going on a year of incarceration. We'll be back with more, including your calls at 800-684-3110.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
to the broadcast. Everyone taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. So it's called the Graham-Cassidy bill. It is right now up at the United States Senate. It is very close as to whether it will pass. It will be the first step in the repeal of Obamacare. What does it do? Individual employer mandates, gone, which means the whole, you know, little sisters of the poor kind of case is gone. Medicaid expansion is replaced by a block grant to the states, and that block grant includes, ready for this, $10 billion in 2019, $15 billion in 2020 of just short-term assistance to make sure your premiums are payable, to expand out the coverage capabilities. That takes place. Also, a number of the Obamacare subsidies are returned to the states through block grants, but taxes are, a lot of the taxes, not all of them, are eliminated. There is also a defunding of Planned Parenthood on federal dollars. So all of that taking place. So we're very encouraged by that. And go ahead.
This comment that came in, just as a reminder to everybody about what people are really facing. Sylvie on Facebook, my monthly health care premium is now more than my rent. Think about that. That your home, where you live, whether it's your mortgage, your rent, is less expensive than insurance that you might need that month and might not need for months at a time. And even if you do need it for, you know, some prescription coverage, we're talking about $20, $30 here. It should not equate to your rents and your mortgages. And it shouldn't even equate to, it should be probably less than car payments.
Yep.
But at the same time, you realize this is becoming the single highest cost of goods for the American people. Like, they're spending more on this than they are on their home. Like the callers yesterday, and it's happening in different places. So depending on where you are in the country, you're experiencing it a little differently. But we're all heading towards the way of these callers that are truly shocking right now. This will become the norm if nothing is changed. And you know what will happen then? The Congress won't allow it to become the norm, so they will bail out Obamacare with our taxpayer dollars, putting the country in more debt. But that's the plan. I think all along from President Obama has been, it's not really a system that works, but gets them closer to single payer, which is why we've got to get it closer back to where we want. And so we got to get rid of Obamacare using reconciliation and then start moving forward.
All right, I got a question. I think, Dan, you're raising this, and that was Senators Portman and Senator Alexander from Tennessee last time did not vote for repeal. Where are they on this?
Well, they were, at least on the 2015 language that they had previously supported, they voted no on that. They did vote yes on the final skinny bill. We don't know where they are, Jay. So, yes, they
should
would
we add
be
them to the list?
We'd have to have yes.
All
I
right,
think so.
Let's add.
That's a lot of Republicans. I mean, you know, you start doing this, you realize Mitch McConnell better be this chess master that he loves to everybody to call him, because we're now talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Republicans that are wavering, and he's planning a vote next week. So we're talking about, here's the Capitol switchboard number. It's 202-224-3121, and you ask to then speak with the operator to one of these Senate offices, and if you want to do it again, you call back that number and ask for the next senator. So it's Senator McCain, Senator Murkowski, Senator Collins, Senator Rand Paul, Senator Capito and Manchin from West Virginia, Senator Portman, and Senator Lamar Alexander from Tennessee. I mean, so you think that these are not just purple state senators. These are some of the reddest of red state senators who are still wavering here. And people like Lamar Alexander, you have to question, like, are they really representing the constituents of the Tennessee, the state they represent, with these threatening not to vote for the repeal of Obamacare? It's certainly not what the ads look like for Lamar Alexander and a lot of these folks when they ran for re-election on repeal.
Well, I think that's, look, if we got to add them to the list, you got to add them to the list, but it also means this is a battle, a serious
and a
battle.
Short one.
Yeah, so Jordan, let everybody know what they can do.
Yeah, so you call and you get activated right now, because within about a week from tomorrow, at the latest, these votes start occurring on the floor of the United States Senate. So you need to pick up the phone, call the Capitol switchboard, 202-224-3121, and ask to speak with Senator McCain. Then after that, ask to speak with Senator Murkowski, then Collins, Paul, Capito, Manchin, Portman, and Lamar Alexander, and ask them to support the Graham-Cassidy health care law to repeal Obamacare. Ask for their support and save the health insurance market for the American people. We'll be right back.
This is a critical time for our nation. and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're joined by Professor Harry Hutchison, our director of policy. We're talking about the new Graham-Cassidy bill on the repeal of Obamacare Phase 1. And I just asked Harry during the break, and I'll ask you again. Harry, what is your assessment of this as kind of the Phase 1?
I think it's an excellent first step. More work needs to be done, but this is the quintessential step. Without this step, the future steps, that is phase two and phase three, cannot occur. So it's very important to pass this bill by September the 30th of this year.
Yeah, that's, I think what Harry said, folks, is basically is what we're saying. It's the last hope for this year. Jordan talked about that earlier, because you're not going to get this done without through reconciliation. This has to go through reconciliation. All right, let's go to Kathy, who's been holding for a while here on line two. Kathy, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, gentlemen. I just wanted to say that my husband and I are both 56 years old, and we chose not to pay for the Obamacare.
Yep.
The cost was just astronomical for us. We couldn't survive. And we both have big medical issues, including, yeah, I'm a three-time cancer survivor.
Wow.
So we are really praying for this to pass, and just really want to thank you for fighting the good fight, for your voice with ACLJ out there.
Well, look, we appreciate that. Look, you're the perfect example of where your state, now it's California, can take a block grant and figure out how to make sure that the insurance is affordable for you, which right now, it unfortunately sounds like it's not, because the premiums, and you're getting the calls on the premiums are $20,000, $30,000.
It was supposed to be that Kathy's three battles with cancer should not have been a condition at all to her getting, you know, the same price insurance as someone who had not had three battles. But I suspect that the way that the premiums have increased and the costs have increased, that whole idea of, well, no pre-existing condition, no worries, has gone out the door a bit, because the cost is so high regardless. But Kathy, and as we all know, anybody who's been through the medical world recently knows that if you have no insurance whatsoever, or an insurance that will not pay for these procedures, and this cancer were to come back, or that even the testing necessary, I mean, you're talking about thousands and thousands of dollars of out-of-pocket expenses to the American people, who were promised that it didn't matter what health condition they were in, they would be able to afford insurance, and they cannot.
All right, let's take another call. Let's go to line six.
Yeah, I think let's go to Clay in Texas on line six. Clay, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Clay.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you. I'll be quick. Kind of in the same boat Kathy was in. Left my job, started a company about the time Obamacare was getting in full swing. Penalty this year, I've been in business 18 months, penalty this year was $4,000. On top of that, I'm a father of three girls and my wife, so it makes a family of five. I'm a diabetic. So to put numbers with it, we're at about $900 a month just for me alone on any prescriptions that I get. That's every month. So if you add up the $4,000 penalty, which my CPA says is going to go up under Obamacare every year, going to increase. Let's add that to the $900 a month, $7,200 plus the $400. We're at $13,500, almost $14,000, and it's on an uphill battle. And all that combined is cheaper than a premium for just myself.
That's what you just said, Clay, is absolutely key. Go ahead, Jordan.
You are paying the max out for prescriptions. You're paying the max penalty. You are paying all the fees that you could possibly be paying without any insurance whatsoever. You're paying the full price for the prescription.
Yeah.
And you still are saving money. I know it doesn't seem that way, Clay, but you're saving money from actually having insurance because that would cost more. That is sick that we live in a country that did this whole legislation. It's cost all these billions of dollars, and then people like Clay are in this kind of situation, hardworking Americans. They provide for their families. And, you know, that's not sustainable for any family.
No.
$14,000 going out the door each year for things that insurance should be covering for $10 and $20, like prescriptions.
Harry.
Clay's call illustrates this central fact. Obamacare is often an illusion. You are eligible for coverage, but the coverage costs so much, it makes no sense to take advantage of the coverage. That is an illusion, and President Obama continues to double down on this failed problem.
Yeah, this is the seriousness of it. Then you got the political side of it. We'll go get a call in a minute, but let me go right back up to Than Bennett. So, Jordan's this list of Republicans has expanded, though. Now we're talking, how many? You got six? Do you think?
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 plus one Democrats with Manchin. So 7 Republicans.
Yeah, so you got to get 7 Republicans here. Than, how important? I mean, so this is, we got to start. We were planning on doing this on Monday, but the calls got to start coming in these offices now.
Yeah, look, we're talking about people that have proven untrustworthy over the last few months, Jay. I mean, there's no two ways about it. But look, the last two callers that you took, one was from California, one was from Texas. One a hard left state, one a hard right state. And Obamacare has failed miserably in both of those states. And Jay, the one point I encourage people to make when they talk to these senators, if under this new plan, their state, whether left or right, fails, you know what that's going to lead to? It's going to lead to a demand to buy across state lines. This bill that we're talking about today, when you talk about step two and step three, this bill leads better than any previous to the ability to buy across state lines.
So Kim on Facebook asked, Harry, can we read this bill ourselves? You've been reading it. Is it?
Yes. It's available on the Senate website. You can also go, I believe, to Lindsey Graham's office at the Senate, and you can pull it down. It's about 140 pages. It's somewhat complex because it amends sections of the old bill.
So what
which
we're going
to
do is
2,000 pages.
Yeah, so you're going to see a lot of references to, you know, page this under this and then.
So what we're going to do is
you can't just read it and get all the information.
No. So what we're going to do is turn our legal memorandum that we have that I'm holding right here that our team put together, and under Harry's supervision, we're going to go ahead and Matt Clark and Curtis, we're going to go again and get a document up for everybody today that does it. Let's grab another call.
Yeah, Roberta in Ohio on line 3. Roberta, it's interesting because your governor, Governor Kasich, who you would think would love this because he's supposed to be so smart and he would love to have the block grant so that he can decide what's best for the people of Ohio that he governs. He opposes this, Roberta, but I wanted to take your phone call.
Yeah, I know he does. Speaking of the insurance, I had pre-existing conditions, and my insurance was so much smaller while I was working. And after I had to file for disability, you know, for two years, you don't get any Medicare help. You don't get any assistance. And my insurance had skyrocketed to like $1,200 a month.
That is the key number we keep hearing. $1,200, $1,400, $1,700. How are Americans affording this? I mean, this is double, triple the amount of car payments people make. This is mortgage payment level. This is higher than rent payments. I mean, Roberta, how are you? And you've said, I think, it to our call screen, you've had to close down a business because of this cost.
And that's she's not the only person that's done it. I mean, so Roberta, what are you doing? I mean, that's the good question.
Losing my funds that I had built up for retirement.
This is the problem. People are having it. Yeah, go, Harry.
Absolutely. This is a huge problem, and it underscores the incoherence of Governor Kasich's policy. He has expanded Medicaid very substantially in the state of Ohio. But how does that help individuals like Roberta? It doesn't. And so he's a stalwart supporter of Obamacare, even though it hurts a large number of citizens in the state of Ohio. And so at the end of the day, Jay, one of the big issues is a lack of courage on the part of Republicans and their unwillingness to face a math problem, a math problem that will not go away.
All right, we're taking your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let me run up to Washington for a second here. Fan, when is this vote likely?
It has to be by next Saturday. That's the September 30th deadline for reconciliation. Jay, I expect the vote will be late in the week, but look, people have to engage now because if two more senators come out and say they're opposed to it, then it's dead, Jay.
So this is...
dead way before the vote. So... we want people to call. Here's the Capitol switchboard number that you call. This connects you to every Senate office. And you want to be calling their Washington offices because you call their state offices, the regional offices. They will always refer you back to Washington when it has to do with the legislation. So the Capitol switchboard number is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121, and you want to call Senators John McCain, Senator Lisa Murkowski, Senator Susan Collins, Senator Rand Paul, Senator Shelley Moore Capito, Senator Manchin, Senator Portman, Senator Lamar Alexander, asking them to support the Graham-Cassidy legislation to fix our insurance system in America and repeal Obamacare once and for all. That number again, 202-224-3121. Time to start flooding their phone lines. And for all those offices, any of those staff that may be listening, this won't just be today. This will be every day leading up to that vote. So be prepared until you issue a statement.
Yep.
Until you issue a statement. We hope that statement is yes. If you issue, I don't know yet, or no, we'll keep calling you until the vote occurs.
All right, we're going to be back with more of your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110 as we enter the last segment of the broadcast. Again, encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that at ACLJ.org. Back with more.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about, do we have the votes there yet? We don't. And this is a fight to get the votes for the Graham-Cassidy bill. Lisa Murkowski, yesterday, was asked about this. Are you ready to support it? And here's what she said.
Are you ready to support it?
Nope. Why not?
Because I am doing the due diligence that I committed to doing yesterday. What I have had an opportunity to do is to sit down with my team, who has sat down with HHS, and we are ferreting out lots of numbers, and we're continuing to do that.
All right. Now, look, I deal with evidence. That was not helpful evidence from Lisa Murkowski. It kind of tells you where she is. So, Than, this is a vote we have to have, correct?
You have to have it because Senator Paul has said he is no. Senator Collins has been a no on every single vote. Look, I think Lisa Murkowski is a no unless she hears from an overwhelming number of Alaskans that say, we are going broke under Obamacare. This is the alternative. I think it's really, really important that Alaskans engage on this.
The no, as Than said, this is done. Vice President Pence cannot come in and save the day, which is why it's so important that we all start picking up the phones now and calling these U.S. senators. The Capitol switchboard number is 202-224-3121. You want to call Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Senator John McCain, Senator Susan Collins, Senator Rand Paul, Senator Shelley Moore Capito, Senator Portman, and Senator Lamar Alexander. Those are all the Republicans. We're adding in a Democrat senator, moderate Democrat senator, at least he calls himself that, Joe Manchin from West Virginia. You'll call that number each time to be connected to their office. You may get an answer from one of their staff, be polite, or a voicemail, and you just want to make it clear what you're asking. You're asking the senator to vote yes on the Graham-Cassidy bill to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act so that insurance is better for the American people. Very simple message for them, and they actually take count of who is voting yes or no. Let's go right to the phones. You want to go to Joe in Florida on line 5. Joe, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Joe.
Thank you. First of all, I appreciate you guys for what you do.
Thanks.
I've had a situation twice where my wife has had to go to the emergency room because she's had fluid on her ears.
Yep.
And the doctor saying she needs antibiotics through IV. Antibiotics through pills would take too long because if the fluid gets to her brain, it would kill her.
Right.
And I've had twice the insurance companies turn me down on paying that because they said the doctor made a bad decision.
Yeah, I mean, look, I was sitting in a radiologist's office, and as I'm sitting there, they said, well, you know, if you'll drive 25 miles away, you'll save $42. And the insurance company expects you to do it. Well, I said, well, I'll just pay the $42. I'm not going to drive 25 miles away. I mean, these are, and look, what you're saying, Joe, unfortunately, is the experience of, if I was trying a case, I could roll in witnesses off the street and get that response because that's unfortunately really what's happening. So the question is, Harry, does this, if we get this through, does this start the process so that doesn't happen anymore?
I think it does, because I think down the road it will provide consumers with greater insurance choices. Also, it will encourage market-based reforms, which will automatically reduce costs. Insurers today are under intense pressure because of the Affordable Health Care Act. Insurance premiums are fleeing. They're cutting back on services that they will cover from doctors. And they are raising deductibles. So down the road, what we really need is to allow insurance to be sold across state lines so that insurers have to compete for individuals' businesses. Right now, in many states and in many counties, there's only one insurance company.
Right.
And so they have got to, and they know it. And they are squeezing some of their customers.
You know, Lisa on Facebook writes, didn't these senators say they would repeal Obamacare? Yes. That was their I'm running for election vote. Their actual vote when they won election was not the same. We actually played during that whole period of time, and maybe we'll do it tomorrow. Their ads. Let's find their ads again, pull the ads up for tomorrow, and show the American people the nonsense that's going on in the United States Senate on this, where they ran to win on this issue and then change that. I call that the election. That's the election vote. I'm going to say that from the election, and then they have to actually vote, and they don't do it. All right, let's go ahead and take some more calls.
Yeah, Nancy calling in from New York on line four, because we do want to answer people's questions and concerns they might have.
Yep.
Nancy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey,
you're
Nancy.
On the air.
Hello.
Hey.
I'm a nurse. I became one back in the Stone Age when there were dinosaurs. Anyway,
I say that about me as a lawyer. I, you know, started practicing law 400 years ago. Go ahead.
I take care of young people who are severely disabled from birth, the majority of them. I've also taken care of adults in the same situation.
Sure.
And a lot of them came out of institutions that were really poor in care. Now they're being cared for, a lot of them at home, they're being educated, this kind of thing. I'm afraid that this, under any kind of other situation, because they're cutting back on Medicaid, is that these folks are going to get left in the dust. And I'm really very concerned for them. I my heart breaks for them, because I know what back here used to be.
Yeah.
You know, and where it's come is so much better than it used to be.
Yeah, so Nancy, look, I share your concern and have that same compassion. Right now, here's the problem. The way it's going, I'm going to let Than address this. The Obamacare is not going to work. So these people, the individuals that you're caring for, are not going to get the care they need. Pre-existing conditions, by the way, are not a basis upon which you can be eliminated from insurance under the Graham-Cassidy bill. But then let's go to this, and they are talking about, because of, and Nancy, this I think addresses what you're concerned about, and that is this: they have this short-term kind of emergency expenditure of block grants of upwards of $10 billion the first year and $15 billion the second year. But then, look, this is, I'm glad Nancy called, because it's a real issue for people.
Yeah, Jay, I mean, we've heard it from a number of callers today, including Roberta. There is a pre-existing requirement under Obamacare, but it has failed because you have to be given coverage, but it's so expensive, it's prohibitive for you to get or use. Look, under this plan, it sends it back to the states and say, if you can come up with a better way to actually make it work for these people, then you have the freedom to do it. So I would just say to Nancy and to Roberta and all of the others, if you want to stick with a failed pre-existing requirement, stick with Obamacare. If you want to give another chance to get a pre-existing requirement that works, send it back to the states and let them figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, she's in New York. The New York is going to, I think, be probably very liberal with its fund. They also raise tax at the state level. To make sure that those kind of programs will remain. So I think a lot of those concerns are political concerns that you're hearing from politicians who just don't want this to go through because they're trying to keep Obamacare. Let's go back to.
I don't think we only got a minute left.
Oh, we only got,
let me. Okay. So we'll get your calls tomorrow, Harry. So let's kind of summarize for the folks here. Phase one: we're going to get a memo. We're going to get a briefing up on this on ACLJ.org. It'll be on our Facebook post as well. This is essential.
Absolutely. This is the last best chance to repeal Obamacare as we know it. If we wait, Obamacare becomes entrenched, and then insurance rates will continue to rise. Insurers will continue to flee markets. Ultimately, the private insurance market will crater, and we will wind up with Bernie Sanders' dream, which is a nightmare, and that is a single-payer system. So this is it, as I see it, for the foreseeable future.
On that happy note, we're going to end the broadcast today, but we are going to post an analysis of this. And as Stan said and Jordan have said time and time again, we'll talk more about this in the days ahead. We got it. It's about six or seven votes we have to go after here. This is an uphill battle. I mean,
yeah,
it
that's
is.
Right. You know, and some other international news, too, is with this action on North Korea. The Chinese Central Bank has ordered the system to stop doing business with North Korea.
That's a big deal. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Yeah.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.